Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com and Rational Radio 1360 AM Dallas. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Well, we're going to get right into the show today. My guest is Malalai Joya. She's a feminist and a parliamentarian from Afghanistan. She's been called the most courageous woman in Afghanistan, so stay tuned.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Today, my guest is one of the most courageous women in the world, a member of the Afghanistan Parliament, Malalai Joya, and I'm going to let her tell her story, but we're just very honored to have her on today. BBC has called her the most famous woman in Afghanistan. Welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox today.
Thank you. Thanks for this interview.
And the first thing I want to ask you is something, a question that I get all the time. I have recently published a book, and I want you to talk about your book later, but everywhere I go, you know, of course, I was against invasions and occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. I have been calling for our troops to be withdrawn, but everywhere I go, people who support this new administration, the Obama administration, tell me that we have to keep U.S. troops in Afghanistan to protect the women. What is your answer to that? What is your feeling about that?
Yeah, after 9/11 tragedy, U.S. and its allies, they invaded my country under the banner of women's rights, human rights, and democracy. But unfortunately, they pushed us from the frying pan to the fire because they replaced the Taliban with the Nord Alliance fundamentalists, who are brother and creed of the Taliban, in the civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96. And same like Taliban, they did many crimes against women's rights, human rights. To know better about them, you can see Human Rights Watch website, Amnesty International website, and many books has been written about them. But unfortunately, they imposed on my people, means physically has been changed, but mentally they are same. That's why today Afghanistan is a safe haven for terrorism and also the center of drug. And right now my people is squashed between two powerful enemies. From the sky, occupation forces bombing and killing civilians under the name of Taliban. In the ground, Taliban and warlords continue to their fascism. But unfortunately, when Mr. Obama took office, his first news for my people was more conflict and war, because his foreign policy regarding my country quite similar like foreign policy of criminal Bush, that 8 years is enough to know better about the wrong policy. If really Mr. Obama honest for Afghan people, first of all, he must end this tragic drama of so-called war on terror. Means that he must end this occupation. Second, he must stop arming these warlords and not negotiate with Taliban. The third alternative, he must support democratic-minded people of my country, justice-loving people of my country, that we have a lot like other countries around the world. And the fourth alternative, if really Mr. Obama is honest for Afghan people, he must, together with UN, they must put pressure on neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan, Russia, Uzbekistan, etc., who support Taliban and also the warlords. But unfortunately, right now, Mr. Obama, in the meantime that he following war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and also supporting the criminal regime of Israel, and now war has been started in Pakistan as well. Democracy never come by war.
Well, recently, our country has announced that it hasn't been formally announced that we're sending, or our government sending 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Now, rightfully, Afghanistan has been called the burial place of empires. There's never been an empire that has been able to subdue Afghanistan. What do you say to this policy of sending not just 40,000 more troops, but also support troops? What do you think my country is trying to accomplish in Afghanistan? Because it's certainly not going to be victory over the people of Afghanistan.
You know, I think the elementary meaning of democracy is government of people for people. But unfortunately, after 9/11 tragedies, enemies of these values like democracy, women rights, human rights, with suit and tie, they come in power. And unfortunately, again, I'm saying that after 8 years, that it's enough to know better about that. They continue this wrong policy, as more troops in Afghanistan will bring more conflict, more war. This 30 years war in Afghanistan, that those who were in power, their leaders, and that the leaders of these fundamentalist parties, leaders of Taliban, and also the leaders of puppet of Russia, we call them Khalkin Parchami, this criminal of three-period war in Afghanistan, this 30 years war, now they join their hands together, and day by day they are getting powerful, and they have high posts in Afghanistan. Because since Cold War, U.S. government, and together with neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan, Russia, Uzbekistan, etc., they supported these warlords, and also they created Taliban and destroyed the domination of Taliban. And after 9/11, back these warlords, without at least to say apologize to my people, those who did civil war in Afghanistan, they come in power. So now, once again, U.S. and NATO, they changed my country to their playground. In this 30 years war, those who were in power, they committed crimes under the name of socialism, religion, it means Islam, and today democracy.
Well, we know, of course, during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, that the U.S. supported the Mujahideen. And we also recently found out, of course, they did it covertly through the CIA, right? There was no overt support of the Mujahideen. But we just recently found out that Hamid Karzai's brother is a drug lord, correct? And one of the biggest in the country. And he's actually on the CIA payroll. So many people in America think that our involvement in Afghanistan just started after September 11, 2001, but that's not true, is it?
As I said, since Cold War, U.S. government means CIA and also ISI and these some other countries like Saudi Arabistan, Iran, Russia, etc. They had their puppets in Afghanistan and supported them, and they invested millions of dollars on them. And still they are supporting them because they don't want to lose them. They are their puppets, and through them they can occupy my country as they occupied my country this 8 years that they are in Afghanistan. They want to make their military base in Afghanistan because of geopolitical location of Afghanistan. When Afghanistan to be under their control, they can very easily control China, Iran, Russia, Uzbekistan, etc. then very easily have access to the gas and oil of the Central Asian republics. And also in the world, after arms and oil trade, CIA receiving millions of dollars through dirty business of opium. As you said, that brother of Hamid Karzai, Ahmad Wali Karzai, even New York Times wrote recently that he's a famous drug trafficker and receiving millions of dollars by CIA. But this is not only brother of Hamid Karzai that my people nowadays call him a small bush in Kandahar province. Many other bushes, they are in power. For example, this during tragic drama of so-called free election, you saw that Abdullah running for the election with suit and tie, and U.S. government, especially CIA, tried to do whitewash for him, as the barn of Abdullah was on the lap of the CIA. And many others like Abdullah, Kanuni, Dostum, Ismail Khan, Sayaf, Rabbani, Golabzoi, Ulumi, Mullah Omar, etc. All of them are product of the U.S. government and also puppet of even in these neighbor countries, these other countries, and still they are in power and support them. That's why today's situation is disaster for my people, especially for the women of my country. Today in Afghanistan, by presence of thousands of troops, millions of Afghans, they suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness, poverty, etc.
I'm just so sorry for that. And, you know, there's many of us on this side that are trying really hard to bring a peaceful end to what's happening in your country and in that region. But you have recently published a book. It's called Woman Among Warlords, right? And it has quite a long subtitle. Can you tell us, it's about your story, which is a very courageous story. Can you tell us the subtitle, the basic story of your trajectory to be a female in the Afghanistan parliament?
Yeah, before I answer your question, let me say that briefly, now my people has been sandwiched, squashed between two powerful enemies. From the sky, as I said, occupation forces, bombing, killing civilians, on the ground, Taliban and warlords. So we want the withdrawal of the troops as soon as possible, as their government not honest for my people and these troops killing civilians under the name of Taliban. So to fight against one enemy is much easier instead of two. But no question, for this difficult struggle, we need the helping hand of pro-democracy and also anti-fundamentalist movement around the world. And we need the helping hand of justice-loving organizations, anti-war movement, and intellectuals, for democratic-minded people of my country, through them to innocent people of my country, because we have a lot of democracy in Afghanistan. Instead that you are sending more troops in Afghanistan, why they are not building hospitals, schools, how much education is important, as it is a main key toward emancipation. But billions of dollars the government of Hamid Karzai this 8 years received under the name of widows, orphans, reconstruction of Afghanistan, and also education, etc. Most of these monies went into pocket of the warlords, drug lords, NGO lords, these donors and officials themselves. And this is the democratic-minded people around the world. As always, people is separate from the wrong policymakers. Even the Democrat politicians who are in power, they have huge difference between the wrong policymakers, those who do war crime and dirty business with politics. So we need their helping hand, that they must raise their voice against occupation first, because occupation never brings liberation. And especially my country, we have proudful history that we never accept occupation. If they do not stop this occupation, with the passage of time, we will give good lesson to the U.S. In NATO, 40 more countries who occupied my country, as we gave good lesson in the past to the Russia, the superpower country, and also British three times. But regarding my book, do you want me to say a few sentences?
Okay. First of all, I agree with everything you said. And in March, I'm going to start something in Washington, D.C., and we're actually going to take the city over until the government agrees to bring the troops home. And I would love for you to come, if you're back in the country, to come and inspire the people who are doing this, because we're going to be doing it every day until my government agrees to bring the troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan and stop drone bombing. You know, it's not good enough to bring physical troops out if you're still dropping bombs from drones or from airplanes. So I want to invite you to come to Peace of the Action, P-E-A-C-E of the Action. We're going to set up camp and we're going to do militant resistance every day until our demands are met. And I think your words would be very inspirational to us to keep us going, because it's going to be a long haul. But, you know, we're doing it for the people in these regions, the innocent people in these regions who, like you said, have too many enemies, too many struggles. So now please tell us about your book.
Okay, I will try my best to attend as many invitations from supporters around the world coming. Unfortunately, as I wish to answer to all of them, I can't, because it's very important to be in my country, as well as I am their underground activist for women's rights, human rights, and do struggle against occupation in the meantime and these warlords Taliban together with my people. So, if I didn't attend, no matter, as we trust democratic-minded, justice-loving people around the world, women like you, you can be our voice in the outside to raise your voice against occupation, against the war crime, wrong policy of your government. As always, I'm saying, injustice anywhere is the start of justice everywhere. We need your solidarity. But regarding my book, it has three reasons I accept to write this book. First, to tell the truth, because still in my country, in a war country like Afghanistan, the first casualty is the truth. And mainstream media is still put dust on the eyes of the people around the world and betraying the truth. Second, to expose the mask of these warlords through this book, as many books that has been written after 9/11, especially, and even some movies that has been made, only give one picture about Taliban. While they are not only Taliban, they are warlords as well who photocopy of Taliban. They are in power and together continue to their fascism. And the third reason, as a tip of the iceberg, the sorrows and pain of my people reflect in this book. While I believe that books is not enough to write about the deep tragedy of my country, especially the strategic war in Afghanistan. And I expose that the name of some so-called Democrat in Afghanistan who are hypocrite here talking about secularism, they are talking about Islam in Afghanistan and do compromise with these warlords, was important for me to expose them as well for justice-loving people around the world. And mainly that we need the international solidarity. I think truth itself, if to tell to the people around the world, to people of the U.S., to people of these NATO countries, I'm sure they will not sit silent, and all will come out, and their government will face with the resistance of their people, first of all. And hopefully this book will help to open the eyes and mind of democratic-minded people around the world. And Mr. Derek O'Keefe, the writer of the book, he's a strong activist, human rights, women rights activist, anti-war activist from Canada. He helped me to write that book. This book in 14 countries get published in different name. For example, in England, in Australia, the name is Raising My Voice. Here in Canada and U.S., the name is A Woman Among Warlords. In France, the name is, I think, In the Name of My People. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And different title they put on the book.
And you have survived many assassination attempts, haven't you? Many people call me brave, but, you know, I don't face the same kind of struggles that you do. Tell us how you have to travel in your country.
Yeah, now, right now, not only me, most of my people, as I said, by presence of thousands of troops in Afghanistan, they don't have security, especially women in most of provinces and faraway provinces. They do not have even human life. We are talking about women rights. They are living like to live in a hill, killing a woman that much easier in Afghanistan like a bird. But my life a little different. Why it is more risky? Because I'm famous in Afghanistan and I stand up against these warlords. In 2003, I tear their mask for the people around the world, not only in my country. That's why my life has been changed and day by day getting more risky. And now in Afghanistan, I'm changing safe house to safe houses, and these are my supporters who I have trust on them. And despite burqa and bodyguard, it's too much risky, as you said, assassination attempts. I can't imagine all of these hardships, all of these risks, challenges, and as I face every day. But always I'm saying to Democrat people around the world that what I believe, that I don't fear death. I fear political silence against injustice. That's the point always makes me worry to think about. I'm not better than my people, as every day they are killing innocent civilians. Even they are bombing our wedding parties, what they did in Nangarhar, Nuristan, and also in Kandahar. And anyway.
It's really hard, I know. So, Karzai, Obama, Bush, you know, whoever, they obviously don't have the best, our best interest at heart. What can people who are listening to my radio show, what is the best thing that the people, you know, just like you and me, just regular people, what is the best thing that people listening to my radio show can do to help you and to help your people?
Yeah, of course. There's a famous saying, I don't remember this writer who I love this quote, that says, in the world is two superpower. One is U.S. government. One is you, means people. And yeah, I believe power of people is like power of God. Our disunity gave more chance to these terrorists, not only in Afghanistan, what's going on today in Palestine, what's going on in Burma, in Pakistan, war start, in Iraq, what's happening, in some African countries, in Iran, this fascist regime of Iran, etc. We must join our hands to each other, as we believe in international solidarity. In this catastrophic situation, on behalf of my people, I really need your moral support for my people, and financial support, educational support, and your voice. We need your powerful voice against occupation, as no nation can donate liberation to another nation. With more details how you can support us, you can read in my book as well. Because this is the question always from the audience, from great people around the world in U.S. I face. And you can do a lot. It means a lot for us in these countries. For example, you can contact with human rights organizations, and we need their support, because we're risking their life dear, that one day we bring these criminals, we want to bring them to the International Criminal Court. They are like Pinochet, Franco, Mussolini, Suharto, and Bush of my country. First of all, you should put pressure on your government, on Mr. Obama, that he must bring this criminal Bush to the International Criminal Court for the war crime he committed.
Well, and as far as I'm concerned, the more troops Obama sends, the more he deserves to be in an international war crimes court also. So I promise you that we'll do everything we can on this side to end the occupation. And do you know an organization that you can say right off the top where my listeners can send money to, right off the top of your head?
There in Afghanistan, we have some democratic parties, but more than parties, we have intellectuals, individuals, high-educated professors, that there is no honorable job for them. Despite risk, I apologize, I cannot give their name. By email, I can give their name. But at least some of them who are famous, like RAWA, Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, that they have their own activists, and they are still struggling underground. And everyone in Afghanistan stand up against the warlord in this occupation. They accuse, they say that they belong to RAWA, even Welby Man. Same that right now they are telling me she's a member of RAWA while I'm independent. I was social activist of organization promoting Afghan women capabilities. It is like NGO that since Taliban period I was activist. We had underground activities, especially education for the girls and women. And still they have some project, but they are losing their project because they don't do compromise with these warlords, this corrupt system. And some other NGO there, if you want their name, I can give you by email. While I'm telling you, most of Afghan and foreign NGOs in Afghanistan is very corrupt. Today, one enemy of my people is that NGO lord. But some of them that who really working, please join your hands as much as you can. Support some democratic parties and Democrat NGOs and many other activists we have in Afghanistan, and they are underground activists.
And please buy Malala's book, Woman Among Warlords, to support your work too. Thank you so much. You're just 2 years older than my oldest daughter, and just 1 year older than my son who was killed in Iraq. And we just want to honor your sacrifice. We want to honor your courage to be able to speak out, and we're going to do everything we can to support you.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know that before. I say condolence to you, as I met some American mom and also other countries that I attend. Those who lost their sons in Afghanistan, they hug me, they cry. And I told them, I'm telling you same, that please change your sorrows, your tears, as you do, to their strength, and raise your voice against the wrong policy of your government, first of all. I think condolence is not enough. The government must not shed the blood of their troops for nothing. As always, I'm saying, they waste their taxpayer money and blood of their soldiers by support of such terrorists and such mafia corrupt system in Afghanistan. So thanks a lot for your solidarity and support. And more than everyone, we can understand your sorrows, as every day these occupation forces killing my people. In the meantime, these warlord and Taliban, these troops themselves are the victim of the wrong policy of their government. As a group of them, I was in Washington. I had a meeting with some Democrat politician and also some so-called Democrat politician, that the warlord of the U.S. always, I'm saying, they are like the warlord of Afghanistan. Anyway, but I told them, especially to the Democrat politician, and means justice-loving politician, I said, the silence of good people is worse than the action of bad people. Anyway, we need your solidarity. Thank you.
Well, you have it 100%. And thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox today. And I'll post the links to where we can really help. We don't want to send money to corrupt organizations, but we'll send, we'll try to get links to good organizations who are actually doing good things in Afghanistan. Thank you. Oh, thank you. We're honored by your courage.
That was Malala Joya from Afghanistan. This is Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. When we come back, I'll be doing my rant. Please stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
Okay, my rant today is called Barack Obama Does Not Speak for Me. I was recently facilitating a meeting in Washington, D.C., and an Iraq war veteran claimed that the GI resistance movement ended the Vietnam War. I started to say that I was sure that the GI movement was a part of ending the Vietnam War, as was the draft, the student movement, the Congress, that actually had some influence back then, and I was interrupted by the rep from Veterans for Peace, who simply said, actually, it was the Vietnamese people who ended that war. That's the plain truth. After millions of dead and wounded, the Vietnamese people succeeded in vanquishing the U.S. Today I recall that meeting as a couple of very insidious things crossed my path or caught my eye. The first thing was an article in that rag called the Washington Post about the attack at Fort Hood and the alleged suspect, Nidal Hassan, and how there is an increasing pattern of soldiers targeting other soldiers. The WAPO editors filtered the article through the propaganda wing of the Pentagon and came up with the title, quote, Fort Hood attack is stirred this year by anti-war radicals targeting military on U.S. soil. I think the message is clear. Anti-war equals terrorism. Call me cynical. I haven't always been this way, but I stood up a new person after I fell on the floor screaming my heart out when I found out that Casey was killed in Iraq. But I feel the next item that I would like to point out is something the commander-in-chief promised the troops when he stopped in Anchorage, Alaska, to refuel Air Force One on his way to Japan, and something that I think is connected to the increasing war path rhetoric. He actually told the men and women assembled at Elmendorf Air Force Base that if he does not hesitate to use force to protect America's vital interests, then he promised, like he promised to close Gitmo within the year, and bring one combat brigade per month home from Iraq. The president promised to, A, have their backs. Well, I vote that he put on a helmet and some Kevlar and shoulder an M16 and really have their backs and take Congress with him while he's at it. And he promised, B, that the public would support them back home if he decides to send more troops. We see the revisionist historians or spin doctors, tell us this about Vietnam. It's not that public sentiment was rightly against that disastrously unjust and inherently unwinnable war, but if the public only supported it, we would have, quote, won, end quote. It's called the Vietnam syndrome. The two incidences put together spell this. If the U.S. loses in Iraq-AFPAC, which we certainly will, since those wars, too, are disastrously unjust and inherently unwinnable, then the fault will lie with an American public that are either non-supportive or outright, quote, anti-war radicals, end quote. During my Camp Casey campaign, there were Cindy Sheehan Speaks for Me rallies, and conversely, Cindy Sheehan Does Not Speak for Me rallies. Well, as a member of the American public, Barack Obama does not speak for me. I can't count how many times I have been called an anti-war radical, and I have never killed anyone or plotted to kill anyone, but I will not support the troops by supporting insupportable missions. I will not support the mission by paying my federal income taxes, and I will not support the troops by flying the imperial flag or putting a yellow ribbon on my car either. I will support the troops the only way I know how, by being an anti-war radical no matter what the cost. If we lose in the wars that the Bush regime started and the Obama regime has escalated, it will only be because they were ever started in the first place. The above piece was at my blog spot. You can become a follower of my blog or read it at CindySheehanSoapbox.blogspot.com. That's CindySheehanSoapbox.blogspot.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Our Ask Cindy question today comes from Peter Seeley from Plymouth, Wisconsin. And Peter asks, what kind of scenario do you and the organizers envision that would induce our, quote, leaders, end quote, in Congress to pull our military and contractors out of Afghanistan and Iraq? Well, Peter, that's an excellent question. It's something that I have been contemplating ever since my son was killed in Iraq. And seeing that public opinion is overwhelmingly against the wars. Recently, a poll came out that said 69% of the people in America think that Afghanistan is going badly, and way more than half of our country think that we should be getting out of Afghanistan. And that's been the case for Iraq for many years now, since especially August of 2005. So we've marched, we've called Congress, we've signed petitions, we've done everything we can. We elected, well, I didn't because I didn't vote for Democrats, but we elected a democratic tyranny in Congress, and still the wars, the foreign policy is just getting worse and worse and worse. So what I have called for is something in Washington, D.C., starting in the spring, called Peace of the Action. And that's going to Washington, D.C., and doing consistent daily acts of civil resistance, shutting down intersections, shutting down buildings, shutting down offices, until our demands of troops and contractors out of Iraq and Afghanistan, no drone bombings and no permanent bases there, until our demands are met. And people can get more information at www.peaceoftheaction.org, and that's P-E-A-C-E. Of the action.org.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall. Scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. F*** them. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a f***ing thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on election day, I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year, you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
Your soapbox action today is to scope out a local food bank and donate money or food for this Thanksgiving. I know many of us are struggling in this economy, but even if it's only $5 or a can of corn, please do something because food banks are struggling mightily and the demands are only increasing.
There are times when we feel cold.
There are times we just can't see who we truly need to be. Sometimes we lose our way and we can't see the light of day. If I stood outside your door, would you leave me standing in the rain? If you walked inside my shoes, would you ever feel the pain? When the you can't hide, you can't ignore all the people that you see. They will be free, they will be free. In the morning when it rains and it washes all your sins away, if you hold your sister's hand, then we all can see the promised land. And there are times we just can't see who we really need to be. Oh, sometimes we just can't see we will be free.
Well, that's our show for today. I'd like to thank the courageous Mala Lijoya for being on. As always, my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my associate producer, Mikey, Rational Radio in Dallas, Texas, and you most of all for listening. Next week's guest will be another amazing one and another one of my personal heroes, Ralph Nader. And that's what's so great about the soapbox for me, interviewing such amazing historical figures that I have really admired for a long, 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 long time. And so we're going to try and put that soapbox on before Black Friday next week. Black Friday is the day many Americans lose their minds and their pocketbooks in some kind of shopping frenzy. Well, today we're going to go out with a clip from my friend Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
And now, the Reverend Billy. welcome children to the Church of Stop Shopping. I'm Reverend Billy. I wish I could say to you, Merry Christmas, but as your pastor, I could not in good conscience ignore the shopocalypse which is upon us now. Children, if we don't back away from the dazzling products on this shelf in front of us, if we don't stop our hands from grabbing that plastic in the wallet, no, children, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of debt, I will not get out my Visa, my MasterCard. They brought us this shopocalypse. There's only one Christmas sale right now, and that's the one selling our souls 50% off. Children, there's still hope, there's still time. Together, we can march out of this doomed, damned super mall that we are trapped in. Walk toward that golden holiday before us. Children, let's put our hands on the computer now and say we're going to change Christmas this year. Change-a-lujah! 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 Amen!
I must make my witness. Have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
There's yelling in Baton Rouge.